What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Comments from the Peanut Gallery podcast, presented to you by MyFitFoods. Eat fit, live fit, give a fit. Go to MyFitFoods.com and you will get free shipping within the state of Colorado. So check them out. And I am your host, Jordan Kurtz. I'm here with a very special guest today. We have my man, Jaime Hernandez. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good. How about yourself, Jordan?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. It's great to have you here on the show. You're back in action in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm super excited. It's been almost 2 years since my last fight. And man, can't wait to get back in there. 3 weeks left, so just super stoked.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. So speaking of your fight, why don't you let the people know what are some of the details on your fight coming up? Where can people follow you, and how can they keep tabs on what's going on?
Yeah, so my fight is September 11th down in Louisiana. I'm fighting for Gulf Coast MMA. The fight's going to be on Fight TV, so FITE.TV. And it's going to be on pay-per-view, super easy to look up if you have a smartphone or a smart TV. Just put it on there and it's going to be live on there. So, definitely September 11th, it's going to be some fireworks. So definitely go give it a follow. If not, you can definitely follow my social media handle on Jaime, J-A-I-M-E-H 135 on Instagram or on Facebook. And then I'll definitely put some live footage on there after the fight or even during the fight, depending on my corners.
Nice. Very nice. Now, speaking of, you mentioned that it's been almost a couple of years now since you've been in there. What, just talk to us a little bit about the layoff. Was it Corona based? Was it just kind of taking some time to sharpen the tools or just let us in on the details a little bit?
Yeah. So my last fight, was back in November, fought your teammate Youssef. And then after that, I was scheduled to fight back in, I think it was March of last year, right during pandemic, everything shut down. And
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It took a couple months off and then got back to the gym. And then I was hoping I was going to get some fights. And then I actually had a little neck injury, so I had to sit out a little bit. And then just kind of waiting, had a baby. My wife had a kid. So had
our. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Got all three girls. So it's been rough for me, but definitely a blessing. But yeah, just sharpening the tools and, just been kind of hard to get fights and since pandemic, but now I'm ready, healed up and super excited.
Oh yeah. That's awesome, man. So like I say, hey, congratulations as far as having a baby. That's awesome, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So how does that, factor in with camp and all of that for those of us out there who don't have kids, what's that look like at, a father of three trying to balance being a professional fighter?
It's super, super rough. I have, I give it all to my wife, she makes this dream happen for me. Realistically, I don't really need to fight. I have a career. I work for USAA. I sell insurance. I can just, do that for the rest of my life if I want to, but who wants to do that? I was a Division I athlete, wrestling in college and then wrestling in high school, and I just felt short and I just want to keep pursuing this dream. And so, I do what I need to do to sacrifice. I wake up at 6 a.m, get what I extra do, need to do for cardio since I'm not able to do morning stuff. Take my kids to school, take them to daycare, get them ready, make breakfast, get lunches, work for 8 hours, and then pick my kids up. And then right after that, have dinner, early dinner, like I'm talking about like 4:35, and then go straight to the gym. And I'm there from 6 to 10 o'clock at night, just got to make it happen. If you want something, you got to sacrifice. And I'm only not getting younger. So got to sacrifice as much as I can so I can make it happen.
No, I totally hear you there, man. But I feel like that's that's a cool thing for your children to see, though, the kind of work ethic and the sacrifices that you're willing to make on that behalf.
Yeah, they love it. Like, they haven't seen my fights live. I just never really took them. And I think they're getting old now. I have, my oldest is 6, my middle child is 5, and then I have an 18-month-old. And they're like, Dad, I want to go see, you know, I want to see you win the Golden W. And, you know, they get so excited and, you know, watching some of my fights on TV on the UFC Fight Pass. And then so they're going to actually watch this fight and then they're super excited because, you know, I take them to the gym, they roll around, they, you know, show them self-defense and they love it. So they're super excited.
That's awesome, man. So I got to ask, what got you into fighting? You obviously, you mentioned you were a college wrestler. You wrestled, you know, pretty much your whole life going into that. But what made you transition to say, hey, I don't want to just grapple. I want to go get punched in the face.
You know what? It was just after my last year, I had ACL surgery, meniscus, and just didn't felt like, I felt like I didn't accomplish what I needed to accomplish. Like I went straight to Division One. I didn't want to go Division Two or NIA Division Three, because I beat some of those. Like, you know, they were like NIA champions, Division Two, Division Three, All Americans, and I just wanted to be at that high level. And at
the where end, did you wrestle?
Cal State Fullerton.
Oh, okay, so, nice, awesome.
So I wrestled with TJ Dillashaw. So I was at 125. He was 133s. Matt Lopez was there. Jesse Taylor. So, you know, all those guys were in the UFC, you were in the UFC or are in the UFC still.
Yep.
And then after college, didn't really know what to do. And my buddy was coaching wrestling at an MMA gym and he was leaving and he said, hey, do you want to go coach? And I was like, sure. So I gave it a try teaching wrestling to MMA fighters. And then within 1 month, they asked me, hey, do you want to fight? And I said, sure. Took a fight at, you know, Tough Enough in Las Vegas for my first amateur fight, and I won, and I got hooked ever since.
Nice. So obviously, you know, that's out in Cali, then we're here in Colorado. What brought you to Colorado?
So my wife was Division One gymnast at the time.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
She was born and raised out of here in Colorado, and, you know, she was like, I'm bringing you out here, and I'm like, nah, I don't want to come out here. And came out here to visit a couple times and then slowly just said, you know, after we got married, we were like, well, let's go ahead and change the lifestyle and came out here. And I love it. You know, just the outdoors, the people, cost of living for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you're one of the few people who at this point, you know, coming from Cali can still say that, oh man, like the cost of living in Colorado is not that bad compared to some places.
Yeah.
Because for some of us that, you know, they have grown up and are Colorado natives, it's just, it's skyrocketed for, you know, what we're typically used to, or for what someone, I guess, from around like my age is used to in that regard, you know?
Yeah. And it's crazy because I've been out here, I'm going on 90 years now. And even when I first came out here, I'm like, man, it's super inexpensive. Love it out here. And then now it's just like, wow, it just keeps going up. It's like, it's just insane.
Oh yeah. And I've been in the property market myself, and it's just like, all right, well, everybody keeps on talking about how there's supposed to be this, you know, COVID dip and the bubble's going to break of the Colorado market real estate. My man, it is not happening. I stay scouring the listings all the time and it's not happening.
Yeah. And then it's like, you're getting those people from California selling their homes, like 1,800 square foot homes, for like almost $700,000-$800,000, and then they're buying cash homes out here. And it's just, yeah, it's like crazy. So like selling insurance is like the members that I'm speaking to. They're like, man, I can't get a break. This is like the seventh home I put an offer in, the 15th home, and finally, I just whatever I can get. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's insane out there, man. What's up, Peanut Gallery? I want to talk to you guys real quick about a service that has helped make the convenience factor in my life go through the roof. I'm talking about MyFitFoods. MyFitFoods is healthy, ready to eat, fresh cooked meals that are prepared just for you. They're fresh, they're tasty, they're affordable, because eating should not be complicated. We've all got to do it, so we might as well put clean fuel into our bodies. At MyFitFoods, they use low glycemic carbs, heart-healthy fats, lean proteins, antioxidant-rich spices to help you get the best results. There's over 50 freshly prepared menu items every single day, guys. So you can get great results by getting your food at MyFitFoods. Some of my favorite things are the peanut butter and chocolate bites. The Hawaiian beef is phenomenal. I could just mow through that entire thing. It's gone in like 2 seconds. So make sure that you check out MyFitFoods. Order it at MyFitFoods.com. Eat fit, live fit, give a fit.
Quick question for everybody out there. Who enjoys getting injured after taking a pop to the chops? Well, as someone who spends multiple hours per week speaking into a microphone, I know I don't. And I especially don't have the time to be making unnecessary trips and visits to the dentist's office. That's why I trust my oral protection needs to Impact Mouthguards. Impact Mouthguards offers custom molded, custom fit solutions for everything from mixed martial arts and Brazilian jiu-jitsu to powerlifting and nighttime products. Impact Mouthguards merchandise lineup offers things for both the badass beauties and the bearded badasses out there. Everything from rash guards and t-shirts to stickers and finger tape. Make sure that you check out www.impactmouthguards.com. Use the promo code PeanutGallery in the chat.
Let's switch gears a little bit here. Let's talk the matchup. So what are your thoughts on, first and foremost, stylistically, and how do you see yourself matching up against your opponent?
So stylistically, I feel pretty good. He's a boxer. His name is Jose Ceja. He's actually been out of the game for MMA for a while. Last time he fought was like 2017. He's 4-5. He's actually 0-6 in boxing, and he recently just got knocked out. And so this fight, I got 12 weeks notice. I was like, perfect. I haven't got a 12 weeks notice in a long time. About 3 weeks ago, they were like, oh, he had a pull, he got knocked out. And I'm like, man, well, find me something, I'm so ready. And then they came back, they said, hey, he's okay. Commission approved it. And I was like, all right, that's better for me. He just recently got knocked out and he's just boxing this whole time. Stylistically, I mean, the grappling and the wrestling part is there for me. I've been working on overall aspects of everything, the overall game of MMA, everything's just been evolving. And so I think I'm going to finish this guy. I'm not going to lie.
How do you see, submission, ground and pound? Are you going to grind him or just by TKO, one hitter quitter? How's it going to happen?
I see a submission coming for sure.
Submission coming? Okay, yeah. Nice.
I'll take what I can get.
Do you see it being a major advantage for you training there in Colorado Springs at higher altitude, going down to Louisiana and fighting at basically, at sea level?
Yeah, definitely. And even now I don't even get tired. I recently gave up meat for a year. It was just like a New Year's resolution and I feel great, man. I can go like 8 5-minute rounds like nonstop. I don't get tired. At first it was kind of hard to get used to what kind of protein I'm going to get, plant-based. And it's just, I feel great now just making that change for me. The weight's come down pretty easy. Don't cut much weight anyways. So
speaking of that, now that it's, you mentioned you're a little bit more toward the twilight years of your career, how has the body held up through time, especially after going through the wrestling career that you've had to have some surgeries with? Sometimes it's the, the mind says that I can do it, so I will my body through it. And then there's some guys like, my teammate Vince Pichel the other night, 38 years old, and he's moving around like he's new money.
Yeah, I mean, the body's been holding up pretty well, actually. I'm 36 years old. I have a few more years of me. I just got to be, it's not really hard training. It's more like smart training. And, if I need a day off, I'm going to take a day off, or if I'm only going to do one class, I'm going to take one class and then I need to do some extra recovery. It's just really just the recovery part, more ice bath, more Epsom salt bath. Seeing the chiropractor, getting more massages, doing dry needling, and that's really been helping me stay on top of my game.
Do you have anybody who's in particular that helps you out with all that, a specific service that you go to, or you just kind of go wherever you can get in?
So I have a sponsorship. His name is Dr. Kassab, and it's at Connected Health at Colorado Springs, and he's my chiropractor and does my dry needling, and then they have massage therapy as well that I get there.
Nice, man. That's awesome. So I've got to ask you, man, you've as far as in your career experience, you fought a couple of really tough dudes now at this point, you know, but whether it was Yusuf or to Hunter Azure, you know, like how do you just feel that you can say that, you know what? Yeah, those may have been some learning experiences, but those are two guys who have gone on and been able to win at the highest level that the sport has to offer. And, you know, I stood toe to toe. I made the walk with them.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm right there. You know, both those fights, I was like, you know, as for me, I want the toughest fights. I'm always going to want the tougher fight because it's going to get me to that next level. As I see both those guys, you know, be successful in the UFC and continue to be successful and keep winning, you know, that makes my stock actually come up even more. So, you know, I feel confident. Like I've been there. I've been toe to toe with those guys. I've taken their punches, you know, obviously didn't come out the way I wanted to do, wanted to be, but at the end of the day, I'm like, you know, that is the highest level, you know, and I know where I stand. I know where I can be, and you know, it's just right there, and it's at the grasp of my fingertips. And you know, I just got to keep pushing myself, and you know, I'm just motivated and you know, hungry, and my family keeps me motivated, and so I'm just excited, you know, just ready to have some fun.
Definitely, definitely. Let's rewind the clock here for a second. What got you into wrestling way back in the day? What was it? Just, you know, was it I'm an athlete and I'm in every different sport, and this one just kind of is what I took off in? Or was like, you know, were you a wrestler from the time when you were little?
No, actually, I started wrestling when I was 14 in high school. I was actually, oh wow, I used to play, you know, baseball. I thought I was good at basketball, just was too short. I'm a little chubby little kid. And, you know, I used to been bullied here. You know, I grew up in a bad neighborhood in California, a lot of gang activity. And then I just wanted to protect myself. And my cousin was in wrestling. He was like, you know, give it a try. And I was horrible, man. I was like, I think like 14. I wrestled a lot my freshman year. Like they put me in varsity, JV. Safrash, like I would wrestle as much as I could. I think I was like won 10 matches and had like 25 losses. And I was just hooked. And my coach one day, like I overheard him, he's like, man, we're gonna have this guy and that guy. And he didn't mention my name at all. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna show him. And all summer I wrestled, you know, freestyle, Greco, did wrestling camps, went to other schools. And ever since then, just, you know, was just motivated. And, you know, I just got really good. In California, it's really hard to place at state or even to make it a state. So I didn't make it a state, but I made it to Masters, which is one before the state tournament. By then, you've already gone over like 1,500 kids just to make it to, you know, to that qualification.
Yeah.
And then I walked on to Cal State Fullerton and, you know, and made the team. Took a spot, got the varsity spot. You know, just kind of just will, you know, the heart of will and just keep going.
That's awesome, man. So obviously you mentioned that you've done pretty much across the board, the smorgasbord of wrestling disciplines. If you had to say just, you know, your personal preference or favorite, you know, what was your favorite style of wrestling?
Collegiate for sure. Freestyle was probably the second, and then Greco was just more just like fun, you know, playing around with it. I was actually in Greco. I was one match away from being an all American at the Greco Nationals for universities. I actually lost to TJ, my own teammate.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes sense there. You know, sometimes you run into some stiff competition along the way.
Yeah, definitely.
So what was it like being an athlete at a school like Cal State Fullerton? Because Cal State Fullerton is a pretty well-known university for its athletic program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was awesome. My freshman year, you know, the baseball team won the national championship. Yeah. So it was a big shock, you know, coming from, you know, a smaller school, going to, you know, obviously it's more of a commuter school, but it's still pretty big. And it was just a shocker. at first, and the way they trained at first, it was, I had to get used to it, you know, waking up at 5:30 in the morning, making the morning practices, and then going to the, you know, afternoon practices. Not on top of that, but like even being a student, like right after morning practice, had school. And then later on after school, had practice. And then sometimes I had 9 classes. And it was a lot. It was a big learning experience and something you had to adapt and then still be able to cut weight and, you know, try to get a lineup spot because there was only one spot available. So competitive, and it's like sink or swim there.
Oh yeah, certainly, man. Now with you going through all of those sorts of hoops and hurdles, what is your opinion on the new name and likeness situation with the NCAA now that athletes can start to get paid and reap a little bit of financial compensation for their time?
I think that's awesome because when I was going there, you know, had to rely on financial aid or like, hey, dad, can, you know, spot me some money or can you, you know, how can you help me out? Or, you know, I was working at Played Again Sports, you know, trying to get some extra money whenever I can on the weekend. So, man, that is awesome that they are able to help out, you know, because back then it's like, oh, I'm not going to eat because I got to make weight. But realistically, you need to eat so you can stay healthy and, you know, be able to train and, you know, be mentally prepared. And, you know, so that's awesome.
I could not agree with you more, man. I feel like, just as you mentioned, it's a full-time job to be a Division I athlete. And people can use the rhetoric of, oh, well, athletes are getting an education and all. I don't care about on that end of things. Like what you're sacrificing throughout those years of being a Division I athlete, and especially in something like a combat sport like wrestling or contact sports like football, something to that effect, the amount of wear and tear that you're putting on your bodies through those couple of years, that doesn't just stay at Cal State Fullerton when you left that campus. That's something that you then have to carry with you. You know, you mentioned you had a knee injury that you had to have surgery from. That sort of trauma that happened to your body, that just doesn't stop. That just doesn't check out as soon as you leave out the doors. That's something that you have to continue with for the rest of your life. So I think that you should be able to benefit from the time that you're there.
Yeah, definitely. Because like my surgery, I had to pay out of my pocket. Well, whatever insurance my parents had at that time. But yeah, even like physical therapy, recovery, and you know, some of that stuff, you know, we're losing hour and the school can only provide so much. And
right.
Yeah, like just like how you mentioned, it's a full-time job, you know, and then on top of the school, but yeah, we need that support, you know. So that's awesome that finally they're gonna get some type of payment that, you know, help out with that situation for them, for athletes, because you know, it is a full-time job.
Definitely, man. So as we kind of start to come to a wrap here, is there any sponsors or teammates or anybody in particular that you want to throw a shout out or thank you to?
Yeah. So I just want to thank my teammates at Pariah MMA, my coach, Drew Lawrence, for, you know, just getting me ready for this fight. You know, they always been there for me since day one. So thank you guys for that. And then also want to thank my couple of sponsors, Matt Pacheco at Pacheco Properties for sponsoring for this fight, and then Jill and JP Schulman from Woodland Butcher Block in Woodland Park. Thank you for your sponsorship, and then also Molly Watt Sports for getting me this fight. And you know, thank you, Jordan, for having me on here and giving me this opportunity to, you know, speak about myself and, you know, getting my name out there. So thank you, I really appreciate that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, this is what the fight community is all about, brother. We got to help uplift each other. It's not as big of a community as a lot of people out there think. And, you know, I mean, I just feel like I wouldn't be doing the community right if I didn't help use my platform to help everybody get their name and their awareness of what they have going on out there, you know? Yeah, man. So just to wrap up on this side of things, the last couple of questions here for you. What can fans expect to see from you when they tune in on Fight TV on September 12th?
Fireworks, man. It's going to be a lot of fireworks. It's going to be a different me, and they're definitely going to see me, you know, my game that's been elevated, and they'll definitely see that finish.
awesome, man. And the last question that I got to ask you, what is the hardest thing for you to give up while you are in the middle of camp and cutting weight?
Gummy bears, man. I love the Harbol gummy bears. My daughters get mad at me because I'll buy a 5-pound bag and I'll eat it in 2 days.
Oh man. I mean, I can't really say too much on that because I've got a terrible sweet tooth. So I've got a terrible sweet tooth, but I've got an even worse problem with self-control when it comes to my sweet tooth. So if you put that whole bag of that in front of me, just like you said, there's a good chance that that bag is just going to keep on getting mowed through. You put a big, I can't go and buy like a cake or a pie or something like that from the grocery store because, brother, it's not going to last more than a day and a half. I'm just going to keep on going back for more and more and more. And I try to stay disciplined with my diet as much as I can. So I just don't even buy it because if it's in the house or if it's within my vicinity and my reach, it is going to get consumed.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want it to go bad.
I mean, exactly. I just want to get my money's worth, you know, like, yeah, I got, you know, the whole pumpkin pie was like $3.99 versus just one slice for $4.50. So, you know, I was just maximizing my value, right? Just getting the bang for my dollar.
Yep, exactly.
That's at least the justification that my inner fat kid has to tell myself, or I tell myself little things like it's calorie free for me. Those little things, you know. Yep. But yeah, real quick, man, just let people know where they can follow you.
Yeah, Jaime, Jaimeh 135 on Instagram and on Facebook.
And there you have it, folks. So make sure that you tune in to Gulf Coast MMA 12 on September 12th on fight.tv and check my man Jaime Hernandez out on that. This is the Comments from the Peanut Gallery podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Kurtz. This podcast is brought to you by MyFitFoods Denver. MyFitFoods, eat fit, live fit, give a fit. Order online at myfitfoods.com. Check us out online. You can follow me at Comments from the Peanut Gallery on Instagram, on Twitter at Peanut Podcast. Check out the radio show weekly, the MMA Plug, presented by DenverSportsBetting.com on Mile High Sports Radio. That is 98.1 FM in the Denver metro area, or you can stream us online worldwide at DenverSportsBetting.com/radio.